Pringle Talks Christmas is a proud member of the Christmas Podcast Network. You can find all of our episodes on ChristmasPodcastNetwork.com and follow us on Twitter at Christmas Talks. That's KRISTMAS Talks. This is our new Christmas episode. Sit back, grab a hot drink, relax, and enjoy.
Welcome to Pringle Talks Christmas.
I'd like to talk to you about the Christmas cracker, the history behind it, the fun, the joy, and if you're lucky, a few Christmas cracker jokes. Now, I know Brian L. from the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast should have a Christmas cracker episode out at some point where he interviews Peter Kempton, the author of Christmas Crackers, a Tom Smith magical invention. Now, I'm actually, by the time this is out, hopefully I'll have a bonus episode out as well where I talk with Brian L. about his own podcast, his book, etc., and I hope you can enjoy, and I hope we'll talk a little bit about this episode actually. So but I want to give you my take on it from an English perspective, and also from, you know, the history behind it and how the research I found. So we're just going to crack straight into it. And the Christmas cracker was invented by London-based confectioner and baker Tom Smith, born 1823, died 1869. He set up a shop in Goswell Road in Clerkenwell in the 1840s. Smith initially produced wedding cakes and sweets, but whilst on a trip to Paris, he discovered the French bonbon, a sugared almond wrapped in a twist of tissue paper. Bonbons proved a hit at Christmas time, and to encourage year-round sales, Smith added a small love motto inside the wrapper. The inspiration to add the explosive pop, in quotations, was supposedly sparked by the crackling sound of a log fire. Now, as I mentioned earlier, author Peter Kempton, the author of Christmas Crackers, Tom Smith's magical invention, writes about this theory. He says, quote, "A quick scan through the many internet sites claiming in one way or another to offer the history of the Christmas cracker will show that much of what is written regarding Tom Smith and his accepted invention is little more than guesswork, speculation, or myth. Sadly, today's Christmas cracker industry has never seriously taken the time and trouble to conduct in-depth research into the man and his product, and many of the so-called facts are purely hearsay and speculation and are way off the mark, which is a shame because the true story of the remarkable Tom Smith is one well worth telling. Even the much cited story of Tom Smith sitting in front of an open fire, hearing a log go pop as gases escaped, and getting the idea to put a bang in his crackers had to be in doubt. It is a cozy little story, but whilst it may have at least some credence, the following puts the traditional story of the bang in rather a different light. Various accounts have been given of the invention of the Christmas snap, the cracker snap, should I say, some attributing it to Tom Smith himself. In fact, snaps were first described in the first quarter of the 19th century and were one of several exploding novelties, or detonating works, introduced following the discovery of silver fulminate by the English chemist Edward Charles Howard, 1774 to 1816, in 1800, and the development in 1802 by Italian chemistry professor Luigi Valentino Brugnatelli, 1761 to 1818, of a satisfactory method of preparing it. Snaps, or something pretty similar, were evidently in use for amusement and for practical jokes long before Tom Smith introduced them as an essential component of Christmas crackers, around 1860. Smith patented his first Christmas cracker device in 1847 and perfected the mechanism in the 1860s. It used two narrow strips of paper layered together with silver fulminate painted on one side and an abrasive surface of the other. When pulled, friction created a small explosion. To stave off competition, the company introduced a range of cracker designs, which were marketed as a novelty for use at a wide range of celebrations. Tom's son, Walter, added the elaborate hats made of fancy paper and scoured novelties and gifts from Europe, America, and Japan. The success of the cracker enabled the business to grow and move to large premises in Finsbury Square, employing 2,000 people in the 1890s, including many female workers. Crackers and paper hats were made by hand, which involved cutting tissue paper with heavy guillotines, pasting, folding, carefully packing for a perfect presentation. Novelty crackers followed topical trends, writers were commissioned to compose snappy lines, and the artwork for cracker boxes referenced popular crazes from jazz to Tutankhamun, newfangled motor cars, Charlie Chaplin and the wireless. Crackers were used to celebrate major occasions, including the end of the First World War in 1918 and the 1926 world tour by Prince Edward, the Prince of Wales. The illustrated Tom Smith catalogues, preserved in the V&A's Archive of Art and Design, date back to 1877, providing an unusual visual record of social and political events in British history, and an insight into the changing styles of commercial design. The brightly coloured cracker boxes were collected and traded in their own right. Batgar & Company, an 18th century sugar refiner, which had branched into confectionery and novelties following Smith's success, became well known for its cracker labels. The Totem Cracker. By the 1920s, Tom Smith's cracker were advertised as world-renowned Christmas crackers. No party complete without them. One eye-catching example is in the collection is the Totem Cracker, made in 1927 by Tom Smith & Company and originally sold in boxes of 12, in crimson, green and gold. Their name refers to a spectacular dance number, the Totem Tom Tom, from the musical Rosemary, which opened at London's Drury Lane Theatre in 1925 and was a West End hit. Set in the Canadian Rockies, it featured a chorus of over 50 redskin totem pole girls, clad in colourful outfits and elaborate headdresses resembling carved animal heads. The Totem Crackers embody the decadent frivolity of the Flapper era musical, combining orange cellophane over gold foil with a central sticker depicting the totem pole girl. They came complete with totem pole girl headdresses, musical toys, imitation jewellery, and quip and jokes, and were sold for 34 shillings. Paper patterns inspired by the dancers' costumes decorate the ends, with fringed gold paper and the maker's name finishing off the ensemble. The Second World War caused paper rationing and the restriction of the manufacturer of cracker snaps, but the industry recovered. In the 1950s and 1960s, Tom Smith & Co. was making 30,000 crackers a week. Today, Christmas crackers are produced by every pocket, from luxurious to fun-sized, and the Tom Smith brand continues to produce luxury crackers, including special crackers for the royal household, although the designs and contents are a closely guarded secret. Modern Christmas crackers that are used today are short cardboard tubes wrapped in colourful paper. There is normally a cracker next to each plate on the Christmas dinner table. When the crackers are pulled with a bang, a colourful party hat, a toy or gift, and a festive joke falls out. The party hat looks like crowns and is thought that they symbolise the crowns that may have been worn by the wise men. Now, I did say I was going to do some Christmas cracker jokes, and just like Santa Claus, I tend to deliver. What does Santa suffer from if he gets stuck in a chimney? Claustrophobia. I'm sorry. Why does Santa have three gardens? So he can ho, ho, ho. Things aren't getting much better, are they? And lastly, why did Santa go to the doctor? Because of his bad elf. Well, I'll end the episode with some Christmas cracker fun facts. The world's longest Christmas cracker measured in at 63.1 metres, that's 207 foot long, and 4 metres, that's 13 feet in diameter, and was made by the parents of children at Lay Hill School and Preschool in Chesham in Buckinghamshire in the UK on December 20th, 2001. Now, going for bangs, that would be a big one. The biggest Christmas cracker pull was done by 1,478 people at an event organised by Honda Japan at Tochigi Proving Ground, Tochigi, Japan, in 2009 in October the 18th. Again, that would be a huge amount of bangs. Well, that's it for the episode. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Christmas Talks, that's KristMas. Talks. You can also find me on the Christmas Podcast Network, a collection of all the best Christmas podcasts from around the world, and me. And also, like I said, whilst by the time this episode comes out, my interview or sit down chat with Brian Orr from the Christmas Past podcast will be out, so you can have that as well to listen to and listen to his upcoming show regarding Christmas crackers. So until next time, guys, take care, Merry Christmas, and bye bye.